Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is me once again doing another double intro to apologise for the state of all of us in these podcasts. I'm going to keep it nice and quick. It's me, it's Chris Glasson, it's Stu Whiffin. I'm at Scroobius Pipio. Chris is at Redshift Rebels, and Stuart Whiffin is at Stu Whiffin, S-T-U-W-H-I-F-F-E-N. Yeah, they're a lot of fun to do. I know they're a bit silly and we say some outrageous things, but we have a lot of fun doing it, so thank you very much. I should also tell you that me and Chris always get a cab home after these, and Chris is just always increasingly in a mess, as we've mentioned previously. When we got the cab this time, the first thing he did was ask for some non-English songs, which was a pretty weird request. I mean, the driver was an Asian gentleman, and which is quite cool that Chris was like, I want to hear what you're into, and because the guy was like, I don't really listen to a lot of English stuff. I mean, he did keep calling him my friend, so it felt a bit like a 60s sitcom, but it was nice. Then Chris started to sing along to these wonderful Asian songs that he'd never heard before, and then quite casually said, yeah, I like it, man. I mean, it's not the best thing I've ever heard, which was a backhanded compliment if ever. But yeah, we got a good cab home. Everyone was drunk. Everyone partied. On with the podcast, I guess. Again, I've mentioned before, I'm not gonna add an outro to this because I really like the note with which it ends, on which it ends. So yeah, thank you for tuning in to these four drunk casts, and I'll be back next week with real guests and real people, not these pair of idiots. Thanks, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces Drunk Cast, because we're a bit drunk. Chris, you've asked three times if you can start it how you want to start it. Go ahead, start it.
Wankers, wankers, wankers.
Only funny if you're drunk, which you guys listening aren't. Chris is very drunk. He's cracking up at that, as has been established in previous episodes. Finds it absolutely hilarious. We are
Team Three Wankers.
we are a few drinks in. We are on the fourth episode. This is longer than the last one, but shorter than the first one so far.
As Pip takes a swig from his silver tankard,
which is still cold, which I'm jealous about a little bit.
It is dripping with condensation. I didn't have the mic to my face, and that's real drunkness, that. I've only drunk half a bottle of gin today. I purposely only brought half a bottle of gin. I finished it now.
Do you want Chris, something else?
No, Chris, would you like to do a shot before we get going on this one?
What are you up, Stu?
Have you finished the bottle of Jaeger?
Yep.
Whilst you rifle through his alcohol...
And don't be cheap on
vanilla
me
vodka?
Either.
Oh, no, hang on.
No, vanilla.
Put that back, ladies and gentlemen, because as previously mentioned, we've got the Goldschlager, which Chris was drunkenly swigging after the podcast last time, which was disgusting. So I think that's your one.
I'm kind of indifferent between those two, so what have you got? Fine.
I mean, you've got a bottle of sours up there. Speechdevelopmentrecords.com. Come and check us out. Buy my Edinburgh Fringe show. I'm going to be returning to the Edinburgh Fringe. Tell you who else is going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe. Sage Francis and B. Dolan. That's going to be some shit right there. Check them out. Check me out. Check us out. Check out.
Check me out.
Check me out.
Check me out.
Check me out. Vinyl. I'm going to give a shout out to vinyl because we've topped up all the vinyl in the Speech Development Record Store. So you can get Distraction Pieces, the album, on vinyl. You can get King Blues, Off With Their Heads, which raced up to number 22 in the vinyl charts in blood red vinyl. You can get B. Dolan, Killed a Wolf, in midnight blue vinyl. You can get Sage Francis, Copper Gone, in gold fucking vinyl, double vinyl.
Right.
Check all that out. You could get a real good... You may own no vinyl, and you could go to that store and get a fucking great starter collection for... I mean, it would cost you about 100 quid. A vinyl's expensive as fuck, but still, it's really good and it's nice.
Yeah,
so
check that
out.
Don't be a pussy. Collect vinyl.
And let's get the podcast going. Drop that theme tune, buddy. Peace. This piece of fiction is the intro to the structure. And we are off. How we doing, gents? How drunk you feeling?
Pretty good.
I mean, Stu's on his phone. I don't know what that's about. Just we're checking your list.
I just took some photos of Chris with
the Goldschlager.
The Goldschlager and the massive cock-shaped
bottle opener. Yeah. Don't
make fun of me of that. That's your cock-shaped bottle opener, mate. Right. Just the fact that I'm sucking it off doesn't
his
mean
bottle
it's
opener
not
or
your
his
bottle
cock?
Opener. Is that your dick?
No. What, the one that's in your hand?
Yeah.
No.
No, that's mine. Sorry. My apologies. What have we said we're going to talk about?
David fucking Hay.
Let's get on to Hay Day 2.
Out of the way.
Let's be negative, and then straight after Hay Day 2, I want to get on to Secret Cinema, because you were very excited about that. Well, it was great fun.
Should we do Secret Cinema first?
Should you finish what's in your mouth first?
Because I've got a few boxy things I wouldn't mind talking about.
Well, let's start with Secret Cinema then, because we went a bit MMA heavy on one of them. I don't even fucking remember. I'm drunk.
No,
so let's talk about Secret Cinema. Is that the second time you've been? Because you went to the Star Wars one, didn't you?
It was Empire Strikes Back. But yes.
You went to Empire Strikes Back.
This one.
I mean, that's a Star Wars film, right? Don't
really?
Be a dick about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you went to this one. It was 28 days later. And my mate Indy went to this as well. And she was texting me beforehand saying, my mate Katie went the other week, was scared as fuck. What a dickhead. How ridiculous. And then she went to it and was in tears with fear and panic.
Really?
And just generally like, oh my God, that's the most intense thing. Yeah.
I'm no tough guy, but shit like that don't bother me. But
but
I'm not particularly going to get freaked out by people dressing as zombies and pretending to chase you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I should say now that if it's still running, I don't know if it is or it isn't. If it is...
By the time this comes out, it shouldn't be. But you should go. Or turn off now, because it's meant to be surprises.
Yeah, if you're planning on going or you think you might go, then stop listening.
Skip forward. Just skip forward. It's really easy. People moan about adverts and stuff on podcasts. You know you can skip forward. Just chill out. But yeah, so... I mean, you've been to Secret Cinema before. Let's quickly explain what it is. It's screenings of films, but they do a full day kind of event. So you'll all be in fancy dress.
So if I talk about the Star Wars one...
Chris just poured like half a pint of Goldschlager.
That's ridiculous.
Anyway, go on.
So the Star Wars one, you have to kind of... First of all, you have to kind of commit to it a bit and throw yourself in.
Yeah.
You know, you dress up and...
I'm sorry.
And you got there and then basically you as you're queuing up to go inside, it was at an old print works in London. And you went in and then you got sat in this massive room that was done out like a space centre, and then you made a kind of, on this screen, you sort of made a jump to hyperspace, then you walked through a door and it was, the whole place was done out like Tatooine, and
amazing.
All the characters were walking around and land speeders would go past you and there'd be like armies of stormtroopers walking past, and you had to barter with stuff to get to the next part. And you could go and play cards with Lando Calrissian, and like it was amazing.
Awesome.
It's really cool.
So cool.
And all the time you can like buy booze and different foods, and it's all built all within this kind of marketplace that's meant to be Tatooine. It was amazing.
That's dope.
And then once you've bought enough stuff, you go through to the next bit, which is basically this huge kind of sort of warehouse space, and there's like a mezzanine floor above you, and like and a sort of mezzanine bridge that goes across, and. And as you're doing that, I mean, Carol was dressed as Princess Leia and she
sexy.
She got kidnapped by... So my wife was dressed as Princess Leia. She got...
double sexy.
And she got... Pip's mum, my wife, you need to calm yourself.
Hey, man, they're not listening to you.
Calm down, mate. You're not Tom.
And then... and they kidnapped her and put her in a cell and then...
You're having a go at me?
And then 5 minutes later, one of the stormtroopers...
Gets her pregnant.
Off comes the helmet.
We might have to kick Chris out in a minute. I think he's drinking from his pint of Goldschlager.
Off comes the helmet and it's Luke Skywalker and he rescues her. And then basically you all get kind of ushered into this area and then an X-Wing goes over your head and it's fucking insane. And then basically you then get sort of split down the middle and you move either side and it's the finale of Star Wars and the cast walk through and up the stairs to recreate the end of the Star Wars film, and then they open
That's
all these
amazing.
Curtains to the right, and you go through and you sit down, and there's X amount of screens and X amount of seats, and you sit and then watch Empire Strikes Back. But around the screens that you're watching is all sorts of scaffolding, and when there's a lightsaber fight going on within the film, there's actors recreating them characters above the screen, recreating it, dropping
it. Dope, man.
It's fucking amazing. It really
big,
is.
Big love to Secret Cinema. They hit me up a while back to help them out on something, and I couldn't do it. I don't want me to write a spoken word or perform something. I couldn't make it, but I've never been to one. But from day one, like, and recently they got a lot of hype because of the Back to the Future one and stuff like that.
That was at Olympic Park, wasn't it?
They smash the fuck out of it, right?
My missus has got tickets. They do two a year. And obviously we went to 28 Days Later the other day, but they're doing Dirty Dancing later this year.
I'm aware of that.
That is so cool.
I'm sceptical just because I love Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
I've been to Dirty Dancing the musical. I enjoyed it, but I was surrounded by a lot of middle-aged women.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my first ever Secret Cinema experience, as much as I love Dirty Dancing, I don't know if I want it to be Dirty Dancing.
So, 28 Days Later...
I think you're going to be massively wrong on that, and if you think it's only going to be middle-aged women there, I think you're going to be hugely wrong.
Secret Cinema.
Because they are going to pass that down to all the generations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be huge. I actually am as much of a Star Wars nerd as I am, as much as when they release Aliens, I'll probably explode in some way.
I get Dirty what you're Dancing, saying, man.
Dirty Dancing is going
to
be...
Did you ever go to the Aliens Quasar at the Trocadero?
Are you kidding me? I'll never ever talk to you about this.
Sorry to take it off piece,
this is a whole fucking hour episode.
That was crazy exciting, right?
Yeah, until they stopped letting me go in, or then... basically, what happens at the Alien Trocadero is you go in, and you go in for this experience, and there's people in alien outfits, and they chase you around. Only problem is, you get weirdo fanboys like me who will go in, like, a lot. First time, I was scared out of my mind. Actually, every time I went, I was scared out of my mind. But I'd learn what the actors were doing, and I'd realise there were points at which the alien would grab someone and tear them out their seat, or there'd be in a lift and tear them out the lift. I was literally throwing myself at the alien because I wanted to get attacked by an alien, and there'd be an alien. Can you imagine a scene in Alien directed by Ridley Scott, and it's all silent, and they're going down in the lift, it's all got quiet, and there's a light flashing, and then the door opens and everyone's screaming, and then one of those people decides to throw themselves at the alien.
Pick me, pick me.
And the alien grabs them, realises it's not an actor and it's some weird kid who has been for the third time in a row. The alien embraces them and then recognises them and then pushes them away and then takes some other kid and drags them out. Yeah, I know, Alien Trocadero.
Banned. Anyway, as we were saying, Secret Cinema.
I went 28 with,
days later.
Me and the missus went and our friends. and, man, it was really good.
I'm torn now on if we should leave it there, because you've given a great description of the Star Wars one, which is definitely done and dusted.
I think that's a really good chat.
And 28 Days... Again, the beauty of these things is it's the surprise you don't quite know.
Yeah.
It's called Secret Cinema
for a reason. I'd rather not talk about 28 Days Later. If you are planning on going, I would say perhaps watch the film before you go, if you haven't seen it, because...
Just to get you ready.
Or even if you've seen it when it come out, watch it again just to refresh yourself. But the environment that you actually watch the film in is insane. And, there's so much good stuff there. But what I will say is, if you want to go and enjoy yourself and get pissed and party as well, you can do that. When I went, also... excuse me.
Unbelievable.
This country. but with... with 28 Days Later, obviously, again, there's bars and there's, like... The best rave I've ever been to was in there, and I won't say any more.
Yeah.
But with the Star Wars one... When the film finished, you walked out and then you walked into another warehouse, and there was just this amazing music and a DJ booth and this kind of stormtrooper DJing. And, Stormtrooper takes the hat off. It's Goldie. Goldie's just dropping.
No, why? It's like Goldie was wearing a Stormtrooper.
Goldie was the DJ. It's amazing. Everything about it's just bang on the money. Like, you know, don't go there and, you know, just go, I just want to go and watch the film. You know, if you want to go,
the film.
Yeah. Get dressed up and, like, get involved and throw yourself into it, have a few beers and
did
just...
Did you have to run away from any zombies, mate?
Run like a maniac.
Yeah, but no offence,
Chris,
mate.
I mean, I've got bored of that. Chris, any film, like, what would you be your ideal film for them to do at a secret cinema?
Wow. What a great question. I've not even thought of it.
have you got one that you can think of that you could spring out of the top?
Man, Terminator. They haven't done Aliens.
Saturday Night Fever springs to mind for me because that's a fucking great film.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Right, okay, here it is. Here it is. Do you know what secret cinema? Here it is.
This.
Here is the ultimate moneymaker for you right now because it is well-hated in the movie world.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters.
There you go, that'd be a hell of a secret cinema.
Now, you don't, you know, Ghostbusters is my favourite film. There's a long story about that.
Particularly doing that at the time of the new one coming
out.
Everyone who's hating on the new one will go, wowzers.
Exactly. You know, if you're worried about what's about to happen to the Ghostbusters genre, secret cinema, set it fucking right, man. Let us all relive how amazing that movie was for humour, for story, for science fiction, for special effects, for acting. That is an epic movie.
It'd be a great one.
Secret Cinema, guys, please do it. I will work with you for free.
You won't.
To fucking no.
You'll go.
All I'll do is I will work for a small sum of a massive bottle of Goldschlager to make that shit happen. That has to happen.
Stu, what would you pick? Have you got any that spring to mind? You know we're live, right?
Oh, come on, you can't throw that and expect like, just to go, yep, definitely. I mentioned it earlier, but Rollerball would be really
Rollerball would be
cool.
Great. Bad
good.
Movie, but a great experience of that kind of. You could do it in a roller disco. You could have it all fucked up.
It could be executed well.
You could do it at the cycle thing at Lee Valley. Actually, Stu,
that brings up a really good point. Like a bad movie that could be done well in secret cinema. Because there's plenty of those, mate.
Mate, I got one for you. Right. My choice of secret cinema, Pirates.
Pirates.
Is everyone not familiar with Pirates?
I'm familiar with it.
I'll give you the Wikipedia description. Pirates is a 2005 American pornographic action-adventure film. At the time, it was the biggest budget porn film ever made. It stars Jesse Jane. Tegan Presley. Devon. I don't know what it is.
Fuck the shit out of Devon. Sorry, I said dude.
But yeah, I'd pick that as my secret cinema, like a one person experience.
That's a one person experience.
I just go in there and all those girls. No, is no one up for this? All those girls are dressed up as pirates. And
I mate, no, totally, 100%. I'm just thinking about what Mark, one of our best friends, Mark Irvine Fest.
Yeah, the legendary Mark Irvine,
the best person in the world ever.
I mean,
and
he
was saying to me the other day, he was like, yeah, but what happens, man? What happens, man, when we do virtual reality sex? What happens after that?
Yeah, it's weird how he's turned American, Mark.
I met him a couple of times. I didn't think he was American.
What happens, man? What happens when we do... Well, I tell you right now, he's turned American, man.
Oh, he's turning to Michael Jackson, man.
Oh, my God.
Because he was Bob Dylan about 2 minutes ago.
What happened to Mark Irvine? Anyway, have you come up with one? You've not, have you? You said Rollerball.
Rollerball would be good, yeah.
Let's get on to Heyday. You just piped up like a little peacock. Do you have something to add there?
No, nothing remotely interesting.
I'm a little bit disappointed I went with Rollerball because I know that
I'm disappointed,
come to me.
But both of you are fucking whackers.
Films.
I say Ghostbusters and you come in weak.
I chucked out Saturday Night Fever first and that would be the bollocks, don't...
Okay, alright, that would be good.
Because people don't know...
Greece.
Greece would be... Greece no, would be fuck great. Off. Go fuck yourself.
No, don't go fuck myself. Yes, you, go fuck
no,
myself.
No, go fuck yourself because you said Greece because of Saturday Night Fever and people think they're similar films.
No, Saturday Night Fever was no, one I don't the, think they're similar
Saturday
films.
Night Fever was one of the first films to readily use the word cunt.
It I also don't give has a shit about that.
Suicide in it, as drugs, addiction. It has so much good shit. I love Saturday
faces.
Night Fever. Go fuck yourself, both of you, because you're laughing.
Your face is getting
I'm laughing.
Serious.
I love Saturday Night Fever.
I would just like to add, I recorded Saturday Night Fever off the television last night.
It's with... fucking brilliant. It's such a good film.
I'm not saying it because it's the same movie.
Oh, Grease. Oh, Bring It On. We could do loads of good fucking dance-based ones.
Yeah, but
Step
you could.
Up to the Streets.
But you could do a great film. Grease great one, film. Right? You can't fucking put that down. The fact that they
Pulp Fiction
both,
be fresh.
They that oh, whoa. Why yeah, why haven't they done that? Or Pulp Fiction, cool, but it's more individualised. Yeah, but
Dogs.
Even if so, they both suffer the same film when you come to Secret Seminar. They're such a small cast.
Yeah.
Kill Bill, on the other hand, would be insane for Secret Cinema. Can you imagine, like, the last scene with Crazy 88? Yeah.
Tell you what would be good. Tell you what would be good.
Well, you better tell us about it. Better not be a porno.
Tell you what.
Is it a porno?
Tell you what. It's 9,500. you don't get a reference, but it's fine. that was directed at Chris. I knew Stu got it. Wayne's World.
That's what I'm talking about.
That would be fucking
that
brilliant,
right? That
is what
I'm talking about.
Wayne's World would be great because of the music you could have, the characters, the different...
Can you imagine
so
Bohemian
quotable.
Rhapsody?
So, yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody with a full crowd, so quotable,
right,
so...
Like, there's no song that ever goes off like the Bohemian Rhapsody with for good reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you turn the heater off? I'm melting.
Yeah, and can you never refer to it as the Bohemian Rhapsody? Tell you what will be good, the Wayne's World.
Oh, the Pulp Fiction.
Tell you what, have you seen The Aliens? Or The Alien? On the way to Birmingham, we asked Chris to name his three favourite aliens in
film. I got
film.
A text, and it all went a bit quiet, and I thought... Do you know what? I'm not even going to reply because I know that everybody else is just talking.
And having
Chris
a great laugh.
Has literally gone into himself for about an hour trying to think of his favourite aliens.
But it was great because Chris went into a lot of time thinking about his own aliens,
yeah,
Googling his favourite aliens, putting them together in a picture, giving his list, and just as he sent it, what did you send through as your top three aliens?
Alf, Mooncat and Mr Spoon from Butter Moon.
And I felt so bad because that slayed me so much more than Chris's carefully crafted, wonderful bit of the alien from Aliens 1, the alien, the face grabber from it, and the...
You're really annoying me
and the dog,
you're ruining my joke.
And the dog alien from Aliens 3 and...
Alien 3, not Aliens 3. Jesus Christ, man. You're pluralising shit. I don't need to be pluralised.
He was getting into such detail, and he literally scrolled on to the next one. Mr. Spoon, classic! Mr. Spoon! It's gold. We've got positive. After this next one, we're going to talk about a bit of Brian Gittins, because he was a previous guest, or David Earl was a previous guest on the podcast.
What happened to Heyday?
And he's hilarious. After this one, we're going to talk about that, because Heyday's next, and I don't think it's going to be too positive, so we need Gittins queued up. Heyday 2.
Get Gittins queued up.
Heyday 2 on
best
Dave.
Best comedian.
Stu, you watched it. What did you think?
Heyday 21. Shall I explain what Heyday is?
Heyday, yeah. It's David Hay
the former cruiserweight world champ.
Who I've been a big fan of.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Millwall fan, and when he beat that big giant lad, it was fucking fantastic, and he just jumped up and got that massive one that rocked him. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, he was great fight.
But he stopped for a while. The thing that put me off him slightly is when we went to UFC and he was sat next to us, and it's fine, because where we are, people aren't always that into the fights, but he was on his phone a lot, and that's just me being a nerd.
Yep.
But when we went to Bama... And he was one of the commentators or colour people. Colour. And he was on his phone a little bit then. And that just, again, that's petty. Mm. It's not everyone's as much of a nerd as us. That annoyed me a little, but Heyday 2. So, it's on Dave.
Yeah, which is great.
Heyday 1 was on Dave. It's a new thing that is not on Sky Sports. It's not on BT Sports. It's not on these
Box Nation. It's great.
Channels, Box it's, Nation.
It means, you know, you can generally watch, you know, boxing. And in any opportunity where, you know, the general public can watch fights for free and boxing gets back on, you know, Saturday night television, brilliant. I'm all over it. But that was not a good example of why boxing hasn't been on
was,
you know,
tough, wasn't it?
It was abysmal. I thought the first fights were shocking. I thought
the one that was like his mate, who they were like, he's rich and he's just decided to start boxing and he's done good in white collar boxing and now he's here. And again, it was
that the guy that was fighting the guy in
they were
the
all complete mismatches.
It was abysmal. One guy was wearing a pair of, you know, Lonsdale £5 shorts from Sports Direct. Now, I don't think that you know, I'm no snob
with professional fighter
what you wear, but let's have it right. You're fighting at the sold out O2,
yeah.
If it was sold out, but come on, mate.
The thing that got me was the crowd, and they seemed absolutely disinterested. Who was the co-main event? Sorry, what's his name? Let's go,
Shannon Briggs.
Shannon Briggs. And to be fair, he looked really good.
Yeah,
he was.
He looked ripped and sexy.
Again, it seemed to be he wasn't against anyone good, but he was quick. He was powerful. Considering the amount of talks and how old he is, I was like, this isn't going to be good. But regardless of who he's against, he looked good. But the crowd just seemed uninterested in it, and I don't know if that was the production and they weren't mic'd up probably, but Lethal Bizzle came out and did his new song as one of the hype up things. And bear in mind, you've had
it was a horrible
was watch. It Skepta walk out with Andy Johnson in the past, and it was amazing and the hype was there and it was like this street credibility. Bizzle came out and did his new song and it's got some call and response, and the crowd just seemed like they were off getting drinks and not responding at all. And I know Bizzle, he's a good dude. You can love or hate his music, that's fine. He's a performer, he's a showman, he's a businessman, he's done a lot of good shit. That was embarrassing to watch, just because of the lack of response.
That was nothing to do with him, was it?
Exactly. Not because of Bizzle, but because of the lack of promotion.
It was a haymaker promotion, and it was a poor promotion. And fundamentally, the issue was he was fighting a nobody. And don't get me wrong, you know, he had an all right record.
His argument was he's got the longest a winning streak in the heavyweight division at the moment. But again, who you're fighting, son?
Exactly. I think they reckon like the first like 25 fights that Deontay Wilder fought weren't even worth counting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that Hay could have fought. The fact that them tickets were cheap and he was fighting nobody that he's going to make a ripple on the scene.
Yeah.
Or on the rankings,
yeah.
I think them tickets ended up just going like, oh, they're quite cheap. Fuck it, should we just go to the O2 and just get pissed?
The crowd
and like, yeah. and you know,
as we talked on the previous, because one about like, boxing fans.
Well, I was going to say, fight fans, real fight fans, are not going to go and watch that.
Yes, yeah,
if he was, I mean, the thing is, in the current climate, for you know, a good level of heavyweight,
yeah.
There's no shortage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think David Haywood would get so much more respect if he was to fight the likes of Dillon White, who put on a brilliant display against Joshua.
Yeah.
And you know, he's prepared to stand and bang. And everybody is obviously talking about Joshua as this huge hope. And yes, he's won the title, but only 3 years ago, everyone was saying David Price was this big prospect, and yeah, he's had a few
Price has won
bad losses, but again, great fight for David.
The thing that got me with this was David. It was so billed. The fight was already booked for Hay,
but he hadn't announced the
fight.
It was on sale before he had announced the opponent.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I think
I keep forgetting who was the co-main event. I keep forgetting his name. I'm
Shannon Briggs.
Shannon Briggs.
Let's go, champ.
This was built as an advert for Havey Briggs. Well,
there was a big marketing machine, and Briggs has bought his one-way ticket to the UK, and
Briggs was hilarious.
He's amazing. I love it. And as I mentioned in the last podcast, watch him with Klitschko, because he's gold. It's absolute gold.
Yeah. But the thing that got me was that, as you said, the people who've just bought a ticket, that fight ended and Hayes in the ring. And this reflects on the Bizzle thing as well. Hayes in the ring going, well, you know, I'd like to fight Joshua, I'd like to fight Fury. But it was a guy tonight that's done well and looked good. How do you all think Shannon Briggs looked? And there wasn't a sound from the crowd. Yeah. And I don't know if that was not mic'd up or that they were just... You could see people leaving already.
Yeah, but, it was,
it's like, you're trying... Even the way they're planning, you're trying to do this big hype. How'd he look?
No, I
thought he looked good. Let's fight him in September. It's a done deal. It's like...
And the thing is, right, you know...
They're trying to push it on. He's going to... If he does well, he's going to go on to fight Joshua or whoever, or but Fury. But it's like, oh no, we've already agreed that it's Briggs next.
And Huey Fury, you know?
Yeah.
Great record so far. Like, I'm sure we'll bite David Hayes' arm off to fight him.
I mean, I can't mention the Furies without saying, go fuck yourself, you fucking ignorant dickheads.
Fury ain't going to fight. You know, you understand the beef between Fury and Hayes.
Like. I'm talking about his brother, Huey. Like, and
Huey Fury.
You know, I think they're dickheads.
Huey Fury, you're saying.
I think they're dickheads, but I
they're
think...
interesting in the ring. They're they're an interesting problem to solve.
I think Anthony Joshua would have serious problems with Tyson Fury.
I think it'd be interesting.
And I think that Huey Fury will be a great fight for David at this point, and a great fight for Dylan White, and I just don't know why these fights aren't happening. And that is just time and time again why I go back to why UFC is so good, because that kind of bollocks. Don't you know? There's no politics. There's no different organisations that are that are stepping in the way and spoiling these things. It's like, you want to see him fight him? Fuck it, let's do it.
And there was a big reason why me and you followed it, because you know when we used to watch it, they were dream fights all the time, constantly dream fights, and we'd get excited about it.
Tito v Randy,
we'd be all so excited about that shit. And Tito v
Ken Shamrock, and shit like that.
It was amazing fights, amazing characters fighting.
I just found
and
it.
And what
just...
I worry about, like, say, the McGregor thing, and I only worry about this now because of your brother and your brother pointing it out, is that is UFC paying attention to what Conor McGregor wants, his demands? And it shouldn't ever be that. Like,
it's 50-50,
it can make,
should
it can make
it,
money,
it?
But yeah, I get that. But I mean, it can make the money for it and it can expand that network. But
What are we talking about? Are we talking about Conor?
Just Conor taking his own. But again, the thing that people need to realise is one of the golden eras of UFC was with Chuck Liddell and all that.
Liddell and Tito and...
Dana was previously Chuck's manager. That was very much a listening to what Chuck wants, what's good for Chuck.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit quickly about Conor and Mayweather, because a lot of people are saying it could never happen, it's ridiculous. Now, they're calling it...
What are they calling it?
I don't know what they're calling it, mate.
They're calling it... What are they calling it, Stu?
What are they calling it?
Do you know what they're calling it?
I'm asking you guys.
I don't know what they're calling it. I don't know what you're talking about.
K-Weather. That's what they're calling
it. No one's calling it that. So, Conor and Mayweather, I don't know what he's... we can ask him to leave if you want. It's your house.
where's the dog? Sick balls.
A lot of people have said it can't happen. And it's been interesting because I've heard some rumblings, and I'm not going to say my sources, but rumblings that it's happening in... at the end of the year, in I can't remember if it's September or November, and it's a CBS and Fox co-pro, and that interested me, because you would say, he signed to the UFC, it can't happen, blah, 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 blah. But, number one, he goes in there and fights, he's fighting in boxing, if he loses, is that a massive downside on the UFC? I don't know that it is, he's fighting in boxing. And let's look at where it's taking place, Vegas, that's where the UFC is. Vegas has got a lot of power on the UFC. Or not power, but they've got a big relationship. If Vegas put some pressure on and said, look, this is huge for our industry, this is huge for our economy, can you let it happen? There can be some deals to be done. Let's look at Fox. Fox do a lot of the big UFC fights. huge relationship with the UFC. If Fox turned around, because again, you've got to remember that the Mayweather's contract is finished now. His previous contract to have them all on, was it Showtime?
Showtime.
I can't think where he had them all previously, but or whatever is on, it's finished now. So again, Fox could quite easily turn around and go, look, this fight is big for us. Can we? And the argument that Charles Sonnen made on his Your Welcome podcast, which I rate, was saying, look, if they came in, if the UFC, for example, at the moment, say that Conor could potentially make them 40 million an event, that's kind of, that's top end of 40 million. Quite reasonably, Fox could come in and say, we'll pay 80 million to just take him out for one fight in boxing. Because Mayweather, Conor, make no mistake, will be the biggest fight of all time.
Yeah.
The way the internet is now, the way it's accessible, man. All around the world, that will be the biggest fight of all time. So realistically, the UFC are businessmen, and they can look and go, right, he's just lost to Nate. If he wins again, we might have two, maybe three fights that would be worth 40 million. After that, what are the big fights? We're relying on new stars being made. At the moment, there's not that many there that make that much money. Nate is a big one. If GSP came back and fought him, that's a big one. Him fighting Rafael Dos Anjos, that ain't shit. You know, there's a lot of people him fighting.
Nate, money. As much as I love Nate, he's no Conor McGregor for draw.
No, but it's a big fight because of how it went last time and because of the... He did cause a big...
If he fought Conor again?
If he fought Conor again, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
Completely, yeah.
Nate fighting anyone else.
Yeah, that's it. Are looking purely at Conor. So they could realistically, as businessmen, go, right, hang on, we could make, let's say, 80 million... Of letting him go and have a boxing match, making him an even bigger star, and I don't think it does that much damage because you're doing it in boxing. What? My opinion is Mayweather will win. I don't agree with the people who say it's a guaranteed first round knockout. I think Conor's got good movement. No, he's got heavy hands, and Mayweather ain't a knockout artist. He can knock people out. You saw what he did to Hatton and things like that. But again, I think Conor isn't a ploughing and power shot like Hatton is. So I think there's variation there. I think 99% Mayweather would win. There's that 1%. If Conor caught him with that power left, then the UFC and Conor go to a next level. So I can see it realistically from a business point of view happening because there's big money in that.
I completely agree with the fight itself. I think one of the things that has made Conor as famous as he is, and one of the things that I love about UFC, as a bit of an obsessive, is the fact that you invest in your fighters.
Yeah.
And
Conor is a story, man.
And Conor is a product of that.
Mm.
You know, from his, you know, early fights, like the UFC have nurtured him, and with Conor's ability to be able to hype himself.
But damn, he can talk.
You're on board. You love him, and you watch him, and you watch him on Tough, and it's like, I'm all over it, you know.
And it's the beauty, it's the classic wrestling tactic of you love him or you hate him.
Right, but
and you'll tune in to see him win, or you'll tune in to see him knocked out, but you're still fucking tuning in.
And it's classic UFC. Like with Tough, it's brilliant because with Tough, you go, man, I love Forrest Griffin, or, you know, I love Diego Sanchez, or whoever you watch on Tough, you know, by the time they get to the octagon, like JoJo, like when we went to Scotland and watched JoJo, you know, I've watched her on Tough and I was like, man, story. I love her. She's great. And like, and you want her to win because
that's where the UFC does so much better than kickboxing and K1.
What I've just seen,
with a golden era of K1 and things like that, or
like Glory.
Glory's
incredible.
But we don't know the stories
you don't know who they are. And one of the things, that I saw that UFC were doing now, which I've not watched yet, is Where Are They Now?
Yeah.
And it's all the people that are on Tough and what they're up to now. And I just think, man, I fucking love shit like that.
Yeah.
Because I want to know, because I love that dude, or like,
yeah, he was,
I wanted
yeah.
to see that guy get, like, you know, sparked. And I think the fact that UFC does all of this, can you remember when Sugar Ray Leonard and Stallone done The Contender?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I was aware of it going on.
Like, my
brother
it.
Watched it a lot.
Loved it. It was Peter Manfredo Jr. ended up fighting Calzaghe.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. And it was the first time that like boxing had kind of opened the doors somewhat, where like you got to see someone, invest in them and go, I love him, he's my favourite.
Yeah.
And UFC definitely saw that, and Tough was off the back of that.
Yeah. And Tough saved the UFC hugely. Like, they talk about that constantly.
That Griffin fight, wasn't it? And like, but I just love that, that you're invested now. And I think Conor is a big product to that. And I think UFC should be thinking, do you know what, we've set our own path now, and we've broke away from it, and we've left boxing behind, and we're only going to, and I think to then go back and let your, although again he's come off of that defeat, your golden boy, because it's him, let's be honest, him, who had that power, him, Brock, Ronda, they're your superstars, to then let them go back to something which I think Floyd Mayweather, does anyone really want to see Floyd like fight?
Pick someone apart again.
Like, cover up and show everyone how amazing he is at being a defensive fighter. It's not that exciting. We know that. You know, the biggest fight in history was meant to have been him versus Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Man, that was boring.
I mean, it's not that exciting. I'm aware that we've drifted into MMA again or boxing and got a bit lost. So let's drift off of that. Okay. I'm going to quickly play a bit of Brian Gittins. And are you and me, Chris, are massive fans of Brian Gittins. I had him on the podcast, and when I had him on, I said that his thing with Brett Goldstein on YouTube called The Recording is one of the funniest things
totally.
I've ever heard. And he's just such a good character.
Definitely, man. Like, I met him once. I met him at a gig at the Aces and Eights in Tufnell Park.
Yeah.
Cool bar, super cool bar, like a rock and roll bar. Downstairs, he did a gig. Brian Gittins smashed it. He was totally funny. And I spoke to him afterwards, and he was so not that Brian Gittins. He was like a normal, regular, intelligent human being.
I was sad that when I had him support me on tour, I was like, man, he's just a normal, nice, handsome guy.
Not this
weird fucking hello, all right.
Yeah, and I was gushing, man. Yeah. I was gushing. I was like, you're the best. And but he's an absolutely normal dude. But for me, this is my favourite, one of my most played favourite
YouTube
films.
I'm not going to play that because it's 7 minutes long, but I've recommended people going and listen to it. And we've been discussing what we're going to play, and I was going to play this one where he's just going through the keys on his keychain. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I discussed this on the podcast of, you know, it's a good character when you can watch him do almost anything. And Partridge is that. But the one I've gone for is when he used to be kind of a double act with Angelos Epithume, his name is, who was great on Shooting Stars, he's great in everything. And there's a YouTube video of them just talking about the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones. And it's only 2 minutes long, so I'm going to play that quickly now, and we might laugh a little bit, and we'll keep it all in there. But yeah, I recommend just Googling or going on YouTube looking Brian Gittins Keys and Brian Gittins either rap or recording, because they're probably my two favourites, and this is probably third, but it's shorter and translates better without the video. So let's have a quick listen.
I get it all.
What?
The names. I get called all the names.
You get called names, do you?
But sticks and stones may break my bones, but names would never hurt me.
Try it again, Angelos.
Sticks and stones may break.
Calm down. You get the first bit.
Sticks and stones.
Mm-hmm. Next bit.
May break my bones.
Ah, no, no, that's where you're going wrong. May break my bones. Let's try that.
May break my bones.
Let's do that second bit again.
May break my bones.
Sorry?
My spikes, my spines.
No, that's not correct. No, let's try that first bit.
My spikes, my spines.
That's not me. What? Let's chop it into pieces and get each piece correct.
No.
May break.
My spikes.
What are you saying?
My spikes.
May break my bones.
My spikes, my bones.
Sorry?
My spikes, my bones.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. May break my spines.
Sticks and stones, my spikes, my bones.
May break.
My spikes.
No, this you're talking about may break.
May break.
Sticks and stones may break.
Sticks and stones may break.
Sticks and stones.
Sticks and stones
may break.
Mace break.
Not mace break. May break. Sticks and stones may break. Try it.
Sticks and stones may break.
No. And again.
Sticks and stones may break.
No. And again.
Sticks and stones may break.
No. It's getting worse. Next.
Sticks and stones may break my bones.
That is absolute comp. Well, anyway, cobbledygook.
Whenever I say it, they whack me.
I am not surprised a buddy hoodie comes up to you on the bus and you say, sticks and stones may break my bones. Yeah, what do you think he's going to do?
Well, he's going to whack you.
Yeah, he's going to whack you.
And he does.
I think I'd whack you.
Fair enough.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. I fucking absolutely adore it. Now, the sound on that might not have been great, but hopefully the wonderful buddy Peace will be able to, you know, edit in the correct recording of that. But yeah, I love him and I think he's great. I can't recommend highly enough the numerous ones. That rap one, the one where I said, the one where he's just going through his keys, just
the keys. Yeah.
Oh man, it gets me. It yeah, gets me so, so much.
Like the keys brought me into him, and then the rap video with your boy Brett is my
Brett Goldstein, the legendary
video.
Brett Goldstein,
and that's one of those things where I play it to people, and it either slays them or they stand there staring at me,
confused,
staring at me, confused, and I'm like,
I love
that's
it.
The best, so right? Good. And they're like, no, Chris, that's not even remotely funny.
I'm staring with blurry eyes at my list of things that we need to talk about, and one just says 5 million downloads, and that's just
wow,
a boast.
What the fuck is that about?
We've broken 5 million downloads on the podcast now, and
wow.
Some of them is this drunk fucking bullshit.
We are the best. We are the best.
So that's exciting. Like, we don't need to go into that anymore, but 100 episodes
good,
and 5
man.
Million
that's
downloads,
really
that's
cool.
Kind of...
5 million,
insane.
5 million, 5 million.
It's well over now. The 5 million was a month
should
ago.
Have that reverb on. 5 million.
Million for an hour.
Million. Not obviously not of this specific episode, but yeah.
Oh, wait, do you remember when... here's on my list of
not
this
on
month.
Your list.
When you fucking made me... like the internet worst human being ever.
Yeah. I reposted
your post.
That was
really not fucking funny. That wasn't funny.
And the weird thing is I had one that was similar that really happened and yours was kind of a joke one. Tell your one. So it was a Facebook post and I reposted it.
I popped on, like I saw a Facebook post. You know when Facebook gives you memories?
Yeah.
And one of my memories was something I said 2-3 years ago, which was super fucking funny.
Classic.
So I had to retweet. I had to go, yeah. But now that everyone's got kids, I had to give it with the caveat: hey, kids, by the way, don't smoke weed and don't fuck it up.
Drive.
Don't mouth off cops. But Pip didn't give the caveat. He just plugged the joke and went,
joke.
This is Redshift Rebel's opinion on smoking weed and driving.
So what was the joke? Fucking. Keep building out. Classic, he can't remember it.
Okay.
I bet he laughs a lot when he says it.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I was driving along the other day and a cop pulls me over and he says, hey man, can I smoke weed?
No. Try again.
Oh, God.
Can I smell weed?
There we go.
All right, smoke, smell.
Hey
I'm not
man,
good at retelling jokes. I'm not
hey man, can I smell weed?
Hey man, can I smell weed? I said no.
No.
No, and I said no. That's it.
Mate.
Start again. Hey man, I'll be the cop.
I can't be funny. I'm not a performer.
Hey man, I'm actually funny. Hey man, I'm
sticks and stones.
Sticks and stones, mate.
So, smokes, my
Chris,
name.
Chris, I'm going to say, hey man, I'm a pretty cool casual cop. I say hey man. I don't say excuse me, sir.
Mate,
hey, man.
I tell you what, if you did, I'd destroy you.
Hey man, can I smell weed?
I know. Have you been smoking any? That's what I said to him. That's what I said to the cop. But I said he had to go at me. He said, "Hey man, can I smell weed? Can I smell squeed?" And I said, "No, I don't know. Have you been smoking any?" Copper laughed his ass off. Drove away. Which was a lot funnier for me because I've been smoking loads of weed.
Can you? I mean, I've turned on my Wi-Fi to do that bit. Can you read the top notification on my Facebook at the moment, Stu?
Chris Martin sent you a friend request.
I'm sure it's not Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Mace, my spines.
But no, it's interesting because I was in my car the other day and I was going to drop off DJ Yoda's mixer. It was the day after a Lizards, and I was in North London and I was in traffic and there was an accident and I was sat still. So I had my window down. It was a sunny day and I had my phone out and I was doing probably a funny tweet, something classic like that, classic Pip. And
classic
a police van had its lights on and was going through traffic, couldn't go too fast because of people having to move aside. And as he got to me, the guy had his window wound down and he said, "Put your phone down." And I instinctively, just because of used to us just having banter and stupidness, looked up and went, "You keep your eyes on the road." as he stalled off, and I was like, man, I'm glad he was in a rush and had to be somewhere because I deserve to be fined and punished for that. But that's how that went down. You keep your eyes on the road.
I had something similar to that in Sainsbury's petrol station off of the 127 in Basildon.
You were dogging wild style.
I was in...
Let's just ignore Chris from now. He's a bit tipsy.
I was in Justin's 4x4 type car thing years ago. And I was on my mobile phone in the passenger seat whilst he was filling up the car.
Yep.
He's filled up, paid, and as he's walking back to the car, another bloke who was filling up his car on the next pump to me has walked round, banged on the door in a really irate manner, and gone to me, "What are you doing?" And I was on the phone. I went, "Hang on a minute, what are you doing?" And he went, "You'll blow this place sky high, you moron." And obviously, brilliant. I have pissed myself laughing all at right, this, Alan. And I went, "Why?" And he went, "Phone." And so I went, "I've got to go." And he thought I was going to blow up the petrol station because I was sitting inside a car.
On your phone.
On a phone.
What a dickhead.
Oh, man, that's fun, though, isn't it? Because you can play around with a human being like that, can't you?
Did I tell you the story about the fellow I work with and his mate and the Alsatian?
No. On to the next story.
It's quite odd.
Go on, do you want to go into it?
Yeah.
Go on.
I think it's worth it. Apparently it's on YouTube to be seen.
Oh, my God. Are you talking about the story you told me?
Yeah. It's quite strange.
Go on.
And a fellow that I work with went... We were just talking about stupid shit and stuff that our friends have done on that. And he went, "Check out my mate." Like, he obviously done too many drugs when he was young. And he's... fried his brain a little bit and his stories are
messy
and he's a bit of a catastrophe. So anyway, his story was that his friend had asked him to look after his dog while he went on holiday, an Alsatian, and said, like, it's not particularly well, it's old.
Oh dear.
And in the event of, you know, anything happening, let my sister know and she'll deal with it. Worries. So he's moved in while they're on holiday and he's overseeing the, you know, the welfare of this Alsatian. Anyway, second day, Alsatian dies.
Yeah. Damn.
So phones the sister and phones the owner on holiday and says, "Look, sorry, mate, your dog's... Just take round to my sister's. My sister would deal with it. No worries." Presuming he was going to put it in a car and go round there. He'd been done for drink driving, so didn't have a car. So he thought, "I'm going to have to take it on the train." So, let's put it in a suitcase.
A dead Alsatian. Just popped it in a suitcase. Right, of course he has.
As you can imagine, they're probably quite heavy. So
they're big dogs. Really.
And so he's took it on the train into London.
The old German Shepherd.
Yep. And he's got it on the escalator, and he's got his rucksack as well with his stuff in, and he's struggling a bit. So the bloke's like, "You right there, mate? Do you want a hand?" And he went, "Yeah, go on then, mate, yeah, can you just take that for a minute?" And he's took the suitcase with the dead Alsatian in it, which obviously, and the bloke went, "Bloody hell, weighs a ton, what's in there?" And he went, "Oh,
money, like joking. And so when they've got to the top of the escalator, the bloke's just literally grabbed the suitcase and just fucking legged it.
That's so good. That is so good. The most beautiful thing about nicking something ever.
Imagine that, getting that back, unzipping that shit.
I've got two things on that. Number one, Jim Smallman, who is one of the owners of Progress, is a stand-up comedian and hosts Tuesday Night Draw on the Distraction Pieces Network. His favourite joke, he was gigging with another comedian in Germany, and I think it was the venue had a venue dog, and it was an Alsatian, beautiful Alsatian, and knocking about. And his mate, I looked over and said, "Of course, over here, they're just called shepherds."
Of course.
Which was absolute gold. But also, on the stealing things, I was... Bristol is a weird town for me. I've had two girlfriends leave me for Bristol. Two different girlfriends have gone to uni at Bristol or wherever else, and it's not worked out because of that. But one, Jen...
Loads of others left him for other places. They just didn't say the destination.
There's Nuki, there's all sorts, but...
They were all Tom, yeah?
Bognor.
All Tom. The destination was Tom.
No, they were leaving for Tom.
Tom's
that was
tanks.
The joke. I heard his D is the best.
Anyway, one, I was visiting in Bristol, and I'd driven up there in my, I think it was a Fiesta or something. I will get onto my first ever car soon. That's a hell of a tale. So I drive up there, and I parked in an NCP car park, and had a lovely weekend. Had a delightful time, stayed at her halls of residence. She was at uni there. And I got back to my car to find the back window had been broken. And I'm like, I'm not a rich person. I was like, oh, fuck.
No.
And I get in there, and the only solace was the fact, or was the idea of thinking of these gone in 60 seconds type high-end car thieves breaking in, and all they'd done was throw all the gloves around because I was a dickhead, and I found it funny that in my glove box I just had loads of gloves. So I just had a glove box full of gloves, and I can imagine them breaking in like, yeah, let's rob this, and then open it and just finding gloves, and the fury as they'd, all they'd done was throw my gloves around, and that was...
Oh, man, that's dope. That is you. That is totally you.
Dickhead.
Having a glove box.
They were lucky they didn't look in my boot.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
Hey. First car, Christopher Glasser. We're going to have to wrap this up. We're at 55 minutes on the fourth episode.
Black Ford Fiesta. Man, I rode that deep. I rode it long.
Nice. Stu? Penny Farthing.
Blue Mark III Escort Estate with Cat in the Hat painted on the bonnet.
Fuck you, man. Really?
Get in. Shit. That is beautiful. I had a gold Daihatsu Domino, which no one knows about.
Domino, motherfucker!
Exactly. And I rung up to get it insured, and it was a half a litre engine. Half a litre. And I rung up, and I'm like, half a litre engine, and the insurance people on the phone are like, okay, 1.5 litres.
How far did that car go?
Yeah, not that far. So like, 1.5 litres, I'm like, nope, half a litre. Like, yep, 1.5 litres. Like,
I don't think I knew you back then. I didn't around with anyone with less than a 3/4 litre.
No, half a litre, and they go, and I go, no, 500cc. And they're like, oh, it's a moped. Right, no, it's a car. And I still had huge insurance, and they tried to argue, like, we're insuring you against what you could crash into. You could crash into a Porsche. And I genuinely said on the phone, I'd have to fucking catch up with it first, which was completely unrealistic.
Like, overtaken by, like, dogs and...
Yeah, 500cc, Daihatsu Domino. Daihatsu Domino. And the Daihatsu Domino had a massive steering wheel, and I'm tall. So my mum's mate Jay put a racing steering wheel on there. So I had this tiny little steering wheel that looks slick as fuck in my Daihatsu Domino that looked like a transformer, essentially. So that was... Are we all losing steam? It feels like we're at the end of the podcast because you guys are struggling to get
fine.
A sentence
I'm just
out.
At Chris.
Thanks, man.
The things I've got left on the pod... left noting... Breaking the world record. This is a short one.
Yeah, what is that? Breaking the world record for
as
what?
We mentioned before, Sam Marshall of Chester Street CrossFit gives me my CrossFit exercises. I had one day, and I send him my results each time, and he compares them to his class and things like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I sent him my results for a particular wall ball exercise, which is a thing where you've got a medicine ball and you're throwing it up the wall and doing these squats. And I sent him my result, and he said, "Really?" And I went, "Yep." And he went, "Right, you've just broken the world record for that."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, that's nice in my conservatory. I've just broken the world record." Obviously, we learned quite quick. I was doing it wrong. I wasn't squatting fully. But I still feel that maintains I've got the world record.
Telling porcupines.
No, I wasn't telling porcupines. I just wasn't doing the exercise properly. I wasn't squatting as much in the wall ball as I meant to. But it means I've got the world record for a shitty half squat wall ball. So that wasn't a long one. Easy. I've got a note of the Fighter and the Kid trans bathroom. And this is real brief. Mm. I love the Fighter and the Kid. And we've discussed this. Brian Callan is hilarious. I like when he nerds out and is intellectual. Brendan Sharp is golden now. And you've been won over to Sharp. I was defending Sharp on that first one. You were like, no, he's a dick and he's a wall. But
Stu looks like Sharp's father. That's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, whatever. he does a bit.
You do.
There's been a subject that's come up on there a few times, and it's the thing, I think it's in Minneapolis. No, it's not, but it's somewhere. Bruce Springsteen cancelled a gig because of a new law that has come in that's saying that trans people aren't allowed to go in the toilet of their current identified gender.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's bullshit. And the thing that's annoyed me is the Fighter and the Kid, although it gets laddie and they get silly, they're quite intelligent and it's still, I like it. But the thing that's annoyed me is I don't think they've had a grasp on it. And the argument that annoys me repeatedly is people say, look, and you've got kids, Stu, they say, look, I'm all for everything being equal and pro-gender and all this, but if my daughter's in the toilet, I don't want a guy being able to just put on a wig and go in that toilet. And they're saying it's a risk to women, it's a risk of sexual assault, and it's a misunderstanding of the law. It's if you are legally defined as a female, which isn't an easy thing to do. You have to live for a certain time as a female. You don't have to have your dick cut off. That's not an essential thing, but it's if you're defined as a female and you've legally changed your gender to female, then you can go in there. So it's not a case of, I just don't like the idea of some guy can put on a wig and then go in the toilet where my wife is or my kids are or whatever else. That's not the fucking case. No one likes that. And let's not fuck about. The fear is some deviant or some rapist.
Mm.
Let's not fuck about. The fact is, I don't have to put on a wig. If I'm a fucked up, horrible person, I can wait till it's a bit quiet. I can walk into a girl's toilet and I can do something horrible. That's a fucking horrible thing, but the fact is, someone is more likely to do that than spend a year living as a woman to get their identity changed on their ID.
The thing
that's fucked up is videos have come out of gay women who've got something of a masculine look but are very much female being kicked out of women's toilets because the security there are saying, "You're a man. You're not allowed in here." But, and it's because of this fucking bullshit law. And what they're also ignoring is the people that have gone from... I'm going to rant for a bit on this. I'm very sorry, but I've looked into it a lot and it's pissed me off. It's the people... There's people who've gone from female to male.
But less...
Who are very muscular and very intimidating. And the fact is now, that person that you're looking at and looks far more intimidating, by your law, that person has to piss... And next to your daughter or whatever else.
Yeah,
but again, the fucking daughter is cubicles in women's toilets.
But
the fuck's going on?
But sons, daughters, are, if you're going to be some dick that's getting like frosty about stuff like that, you've also got to think that there's sons and daughters that are trans.
Yeah. Like, they've made this decision this change.
One of my very good friends approached me at the club a little while ago after... I spoke to her about Jordan and obviously,
Jordan Gray, a great guest on the podcast who's gone on to smash it on The Voice and is a great example of role model for trans community.
And that's exactly what it is. And my friend's daughter was born a man and he's, I think she's 13.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's that's some serious shit for someone of that age to go through,
man.
And identify with Jordan as a role model. And Jordan then sent me some messages to pass on to her and that, which was brilliant. And I just think when you're looking at going, well, I'm a parent and my son or daughter's got to go in that toilet and someone in the week. Your son and daughter could quite easily be trans and has to go in them toilets as well. And, you know, you shouldn't just blanket
to
it,
deal
know,
with that.
You should look
it's
at
a
it from that
thing.
That, yeah.
And it's such a, again, it's looking at that. It's looking at that anomaly. It's saying there's someone who's a threat who's going to go through this to make some kind of attack. Right. If they're that determined, that shit's going to happen anyway. People forget that there have been females attacking children. There's female paedophiles. There's female whatever else. So it's a stupid thing to get panicked over that.
But what I genuinely think is that how can we get so stuck up and expect kids to get confused about genitalia and sexual orientation, yet we try
That's
to
the
teach
thing.
Them about
Sorry,
science,
I'll get angry again.
Religion, maths, algebra, yeah. the English language, diction, religion, history, and we think they're going to get overly confused because someone walks in somewhere with a dick or a vagina.
Again, that's the fucking crazy thing is it's not one will ever see that.
No, but my point is...
If you're a man with a penis going in a women's toilet, just really quickly, you're going into a cubicle because women's toilets have cubicles. If you're a woman who's become a man... You're not going to be pissing at the urinal if you've not got a penis. You're going to be going into a fucking cubicle. So it's not this thing of being confronted by this mixed gender.
It's
stupid paranoia.
Go beyond that.
Yeah.
Go beyond that confusion. Go beyond the fact that some of us might have dicks and some of us might have fannies or vagina or tits or whatever.
Yeah,
that's not a difficult... That's not...
Yummy.
That's not difficult.
Yeah,
that's not a difficult explanation for a child who has no brain, who is a sponge.
Or not even has no brain, has no preconceived prejudice.
That's what I mean, though, mate. That's exactly what I mean, right? So you're a brain and you're absorbing information.
Yeah.
And there's so many more complicated things other than gender, sexual preference.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing that people need to get around their heads around as well, is gender has nothing to do with sexual preference, nothing at all.
Exactly.
And it's another reason that Jordan Gray, fucking tall, dark friend, adore the girl because she's a great example of that.
But you
she
do
was
get
born,
the point I was making,
she, yeah,
right?
No, completely, completely. But she was born with male genitalia. She identifies as a woman, has become a woman, is going out with a woman.
Mm.
It's not a gay thing. It's not that had male genitalia, has realised he's gay, is now becoming... sexuality... has nothing to do with gender. It's the gender identification, and it pisses me the fuck off.
I just think that it takes a lot of time to discuss all this.
Yeah.
And I'd rather be having a laugh.
Yeah,
than
completely.
Having to get so confused over who's fucking who's got what bits.
I mean, I want to
who's got
say,
what bits.
I want
and who's
say
fucking,
as well.
What's your gender? What are you doing? What are you,
just,
homosexual?
Just
you're
ever
straight?
So quickly, I think, again, we can go too far on it. It's okay to be confused by this shit.
Yeah,
or to be
is.
Uncomfortable. It's a natural thing to go, oh, wow. So that guy who's Kim Kardashian's dad is now a woman. That's weird.
Exactly. How many times have you woken up next to a woman who's got a dick,
yep,
but it was many. In your dick and it was space docking.
Anyway, but yeah, so again, it's okay to have a bit of confusion and be confused about it. But again, it's all part, it should just be an open part of society.
Discuss it.
I want to quickly jump
upset
through.
About it.
There's one thing I've mentioned a couple of times. There's a few things on here I haven't mentioned, so we won't go into them. I mentioned George Zimmerman. We're not even going to discuss it. George Zimmerman is a cop that, or even a security kind of cop, a weird line, that shot a young black man in a hoodie who was innocent. A lot of people were shocked he wasn't charged or done for this because it seemed
what,
like a crime.
The black man with the hoodie?
No, the
sorry,
cop
George
that did the
Zimmerman.
Shooting.
Zimmerman.
See, a little joke. But yeah, it's shocked that he wasn't done for this. That's here or there. You can argue whatever. He's just sold the gun he shot the kid with for £250,000. And that makes me say, I mean, beforehand, I said he was a piece of shit cunt, and now I just think that's confirmed. So we won't even go into that. That was what we were going to get into. Let's not discuss that. You touched upon as something there of Jordan passing on some messages and being a great example.
Can you get me a beer quickly?
No, we're ending the podcast, Chris, and you need to go home. You're far too drunk. Stu, would you be all right with ending the podcast on a story that you've told me before about your friend James Buckley and your, is it your cousin's prom thing? Is that okay to share?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just think that's a nice story. And just saying how Jordan was so forward in going, like, I'll be that influence and be that, that positive figure. So I think that's a good positive thing to end
on.
Oh,
man, it's really positive. It's a really sweet...
It's a beautiful story. Yeah, and it came to mind as soon as you were saying it. And I thought, rather than get hung up on all these other angry things I've made notes on...
Let's make that. Me and my family, I should say my wife and my children, we foster children. And... We haven't currently got any, but my sister-in-law and her husband foster kids.
Yep.
Chris?
He's just sleeping. No, he wasn't laughing.
I won't
he looked like
laughing.
He was laughing then, and he wasn't.
Hey,
he was
I won't
sleeping.
Even be an arsehole then.
My sister-in-law has brought up from the age of, I think she was 15, an amazing kid who, when you were talking about Bristol earlier, she's one of the only children in the care system that has got into university.
Oh, wow.
And she's studying photography in Bristol.
Wicked.
And she's an amazing kid who's had a horrific upbringing, and basically she moved up to here and was living with my sister-in-law, and she went to a local school round here, and it was at the time that the in-betweeners was huge, and obviously at that point I was looking after James, the guy who plays Jay, and going out on the road with him.
Who is the iconic figure as well in between. He was the fake cool kid with loads of classic stories.
He had all the taglines and stuff, and, you know, it was, you know, the amount of times I must have heard people screaming bus wanker at him and stuff like that. And, but, you know, nice guy, and, you know, we become good friends, and, I won't say her name, but... My niece sort of said she heard a load of lads at school saying like about the in-betweeners, and she said, "Oh, like, you know, my uncle knows them."
Yeah,
and they just ripped her and said that she was talking shit and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and I just thought
a typical schoolyard.
Just particularly a
young girl who's, you know, come into a new community, a new area.
And I just thought, you know, if she ever listens to this, like, you know, I've never really sort of spoke to her about it, but, you know, she's just took so much on the chin, and she's just such an amazing kid.
Yeah.
And she's a woman now. And basically she come round to see me and Carol and was telling us about her prom because she was leaving school, and we bought a dress for her so she could go, you know, a prom dress and whatnot. And I remember her sort of ringing her mates up and talking about it and asking about the limos, because everyone gets limos to these proms now, and it's a big business, and there was no room for her, and she just took it straight on the chin and was like, "Oh, okay." And I just thought, oh man, this is not good, you know. This kid's had so much of a rough deal.
Yeah. And, excited about a dress and then being knocked back on the shared limos.
And it was real Cinderella shit. And so, I didn't sort of say much to her, but I said, like, you know, just leave it with me for a bit. And I phoned up James and I said, "Look, will you do me a favour? Like, will you take my niece to her prom?" And he was like, "Okay, yeah." And it was just...
Man, that's cool.
And it was just at the Player up the 128, and... We got a friend of ours, like, had a Porsche, and so we got the Porsche, and everyone was turning up in their limos on this red carpet outside, and there was all the parents, all the teachers and photographers all doing these photos as these different limos were pulling up. And literally, we've just sort of overtook all of these limos and just pulled up by this red carpet, and my niece got out, and then James got out. And literally these just cameras were going crazy, and everyone's like, "It's Jay from In Between Us, blah blah blah." And I remember all these lads come running over, and we're like, "We have photos and that." And he was like, "No, I'm with," and I won't say her name, but I'm with, you know,
I'm with her.
And that was it. And he walked her in. And I just thought, you know, it's as superficial as fuck.
Yeah.
But at 15 years of age, life's superficial, man. World,
doesn't it? And yeah, like, of course it is.
And I just thought, if she can start college as being that girl that the bloke from the in-betweeners
that Jay from the in-betweeners took to the prom.
Like, anything counts at that age, do you know what I mean? If you can get your head above the water and, like, you know, earn a few cool points, then, yeah, it was fantastic. And, you know, she loved college and she's at uni now and she's brilliant. She's, you know, she's mine and my missus' best mates and we you know, love her dearly. And I'll forever, this day, like, will I want to James for just being top lad and doing stuff like that. And it was, at the time, don't get me wrong, I'd love to have gone to all the papers and gone, check out this amazing kid and what's happened to her.
But
she's in the care system. You can't do it. And
of course.
You know, her parents couldn't have known about it or anything like that. You know, we had to keep it, you know.
Because again, it makes it more beautiful because it's a thankless task. It's not a promo thing.
No one sees that shit. Like, it's beautiful. You know, and he's had some stuff in the press where they've dug him out and you just think, yeah, he could have tipped off a couple of paps about that.
Easy.
Look at this guy, nice guy. Shining armour, taking this, you know, underprivileged kid to a prom, and he didn't. I love it. Fair play. Yeah.
Well, that's a beautiful note to end on. Thank you all very much for tuning in. This has been another Drunk Cast with Christopher Glasson.
Word.
And Stuart Whiffin.
Wow.
And my name is Scroobius Pip. Thank you for tuning in and subscribing and so on and so forth. At Scroobius Pip, yo, all that other bullshit. We out.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Discretion Pieces.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.